everyone. Our brother Jerome, he's going to Sri Lanka on the 25th of November. Outside there is a box for you to bring your spectacles they are no longer using. Put it in the box for you to bring your smartphone. If you are not using, put it in the box and Brother Jerome will bring it to Sri Lanka. Someone asked me, Pastor, if I bring the smartphone, do I need to bring the charger? Well, if you bring the smartphone and you don't bring the charger, it means you're not very smart. So please bring the smartphone and the charger so that they can use it. Amen. Well, let's come to the Word of God this morning. I want to look at John chapter 12, verse 28 to verse 33. Let me read to you. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I've always brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of the world, will be cast out, and when I am lifted up on the earth. My message this morning is lift up Jesus. When I am lifted up on the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. Father, we want to thank you for your words this morning. And we ask that your words will speak powerfully to every individual heart, God. You know where each one is. You know the need, the struggle, the challenge that is in each heart, oh God. And so I pray, Father, as your words come forth, may it bring life, may it bring hope, may it bring light to the hearer. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the final week of Jesus before he goes to the cross. And you see that throughout Jesus' life, he has lived with one purpose. What is his purpose? To bring glory to who? To the Father. And even in his final hour, he prayed, Father, bring glory to your name. Jesus is not about glory to self. It's not about glory to himself, but it's about glory to who? Glory to the Father. And he wants to live a life to glorify the Father. What is the chief aim? I always thought it was the chief aim. It's the chief end. What is the end purpose of man? It's to bring what? It's to bring glory to God. That's what we were created. We were created in his image to reflect his image, to bring glory to God. 500 years during the Reformation, these words brought forth that we should live our life to bring glory to God. And while we are living our life to bring glory to God, we should also what? Enjoy God. And that's important because if we only bring glory to God and we think it's so difficult, it's like God is like a taskmaster, you'll never be happy doing it. But when you bring glory to God, you live for only one purpose, for God, your creator, the one who loves you. When you live with that, with that energy, with that focus, with that in your heart, then you enjoy what you are doing. You enjoy who you believe. And so Jesus said, Father, let my life bring glory to you. How does Jesus' life bring glory to the Father? By his obedience. Even his death brings glory to the Father. And one day when Jesus comes back for who? For you and me, the church. When he presents the church to the Father, it brings glory to him. And we know from the Bible that one day Jesus will come back to rule in righteousness, you know, and that also brings glory to him. And so Jesus said, Lord, all I want to do is my life to bring glory to you. Have you ever wanted to live your life to bring glory to God? How important it is. And part of Jesus bringing glory to the Father was his death on the cross. And so he said, when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, and he said, when I am lifted up, and he said, I will attract, I will draw, I will gather everyone around me. So Jesus said that when I am lifted up, and he's talking about his death, and there's going to be an attraction. So who is the attraction? The attraction is Jesus Christ. Who is the drawing? The drawing is Jesus Christ. Who is the focus? The focus is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, when I am on the cross, because of what I have lived my life to please only one person, you, may it bring glory to who? Glory to the Father. He never said, you know, there is about a person, not a celebrity, not even a church, not even a worship atmosphere with sounds, you know, and lighting and smoke. He said, not all this. The only thing that will bring glory to God is when Jesus Christ is what? Is lifted up. He is the only one, nothing and no one else. It's about Jesus because it's in him we live. Say amen. It's in him we move. So when you move, remember, I'm moving for who? I'm moving for him. How I move is important. I want to move in the right way. I want to live in the right way because our very being of who we are flows from who? Him. Therefore, I want to live my life to lift up Jesus and bring glory to God. So when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, that picture was taken from Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to verse 9. And this is the picture of the children of Israel. They have been in the wilderness and they are not happy. You know, and this batch did not forget about God who took them out of bondage, forgot about God who opened the Red Sea, forgot about God who delivered them with his mighty hand. And all of a sudden, you know, they come to a place and they say, there is not enough water, there is not enough food. And they start to what? They start to complain, then they start to murmur. And now they're not saying against Moses. Now they are saying against who? God. Wow, it's one thing to say about a man, but now you're talking about God. And they begin to complain and murmur against God. And you know what God did? God sent fiery serpent among them. And the serpent bites them and they died. Wow, some of us may say, ooh, that's the Old Testament God. We are New Testament. God won't do such a thing. Maybe there's so much preaching about the love of God and the grace of God that we forgot that God is still what? God. And that's where you need to realize the patient and the long-suffering of God does not permit us to live the way we want to live, in contrast to him. It is to help us to come to a place of what? Repentance. That's why Paul, when he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, hey, why is it some of you are sick, some of you are weak, some of you are dead? Because you think that God closed his eyes and permit you to live the way you are, the way you want, that is contrary to him. Let me tell you, God is a just God. And we need to live with this tension. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the one, of the living God. He has not changed. I thank him for his grace, for his love, because if not, he would have zapped me long time ago. I thank him for that. But I pray that I want to live my life to bring glory to him. So they murmur and they complain. And then God sent the fiery serpent. Then they realize, their mistake, their sin. And they cry to Moses. And then God command Moses, make a bronze serpent, lift up on the pole, and whoever look at this serpent, even if they are, when they are bitten, if they look at this very serpent, they just take a look, they will not die. They will be healed and they will live. So as God command Moses, Moses obey and make a serpent of bronze and leave it on the pole. And those who look by on that serpent, the judgment of God on that serpent by faith, they will heal and they live. No, they only have to look at how many times? Once. Not twice, not a few times. They just have to look. And the father cannot look for the son. The mother cannot look for the child. Even a friend cannot look for another friend. The priest cannot look for anyone. Everyone have to look for what? Themselves. Salvation is not family pack. See, amen. Even though the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and your whole house will be saved. But every individual needs to make a decision for who? For Christ. God has only sons and daughter. He has no grandson and granddaughter in the kingdom of God. So this is what everyone had to do it themselves. Everyone have to look. And as Moses lift up that serpent, that bronze serpent, so must the Son of Man, the Son of God, be lifted up. And Jesus Christ said, when he said, if I be lifted up, he spoke about his death. And we know that Jesus was crucified and condemned on the cross for the sin of the world. God in his love allowed Jesus to die on the cross so that you and I can have forgiveness of sin. You and I do not have to be condemned and judged for our sin so that we can be delivered from eternal death and damnation. You know, and when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, salvation has come to us who look at it and believe. If I be lifted up. When Jesus is lifted up on the cross, he paid the full price for our sin. He paid once and for all for the penalty of our sin. So that those that look at Jesus Christ will not be condemned for their sin. But God graciously forgive them of their sin and they have eternal life instead. And how do we know? How do we know? The resurrection is the proof of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. And if Christ had not been risen, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sin. Thank God Jesus Christ is alive. Thank God he is raised from the grave. Because if he has not, then our gathering here today is of no meaning. Our faith is of no meaning. Our sin is not forgiven. Because he is the resurrection proof. The resurrection proof that Jesus Christ lifted on the cross to die. He was buried on the tomb. And on the third day, he rose again. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that we preach. We preach this gospel without apology. Without excuse. Without fear. We preach this gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross, buried, and was raised from the dead. We preach it with what? Conviction and passion. And you need to hold it very dearly. You see, in our modern world today, there are so many voices where people tell you there is more than one way, more than one way to God. I'm telling you, there's only one way. And Jesus is what? He's the way, the truth, and the life. Don't allow liberal thoughts, liberal belief to squeeze you to that place and say, maybe God is so merciful and so gracious. Surely he will not want anyone to perish. He will close his eyes and let them enter in. Let me tell you, that's the lie of the devil. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to make sure that those that hear him can believe him. What about those who have no chance to hear him? Then the Bible says God has put his word in our heart as a conscience to judge us for the right and the wrong that we do. God is a just God. Now, sometimes people ask me, hey, this fellow, what do you think? Will he go to heaven? Let me tell you, I cannot tell you who will go to heaven, but one thing I know, my Father in heaven is a very just and righteous God. He knows how to judge righteously. One person asked me one time, hey, the guy jumped down from 20 story, do you think he will go to heaven? He used to be a Christian. He said he's a Christian. You know what was my reply to him? I said, look, only God knows. And between he jumping and he reaching the floor, who knows what was his prayer? Father, forgive me. Save me. Who knows? I said, I don't know. So if I do not know, I'm not God. I don't want to give an answer when you don't have an answer. And it's very hard sometimes, individual. We think that we have to have an answer for everything. But you know, sometimes we have to say this. I do not know. I do not know. Forward. Say it with me. I do not know. And that can be quite frightening for us. Because we believe we have to have an answer for everything. There are certain things I leave it to who? I leave it to God. And I trust him and believe him that he is righteous and he is just. Can you do that? And that actual fact will relieve you the responsibility of trying to speak for God or act like God. And be a person who said, Lord, I love you, I trust you, I believe you. You are God, I am not. Wow. What a way to live your life. So Jesus said, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. I want to look at four questions. What it means to lift up Jesus. The word lift up means to lift up on high, to exalt, to raise to dignity and honor. And when Jesus said, I am lifted up, it means he was going to die on the cross. And in dying on the cross, he will destroy the power of Satan and purchase salvation for his people. In fact, the cross means victory over what? Over Satan, over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. And in fact, the cross, the spiritual meaning, implies that you lift up Jesus when you preach about the cross. If there's anything the Western world, the Western Christianity has failed to do in the last 10 years is that we don't talk about the cross, we don't preach about the cross, we want to bury the cross. In fact, the Bible says, when you talk about the cross, you are lifting up Jesus because he's the one that died on the cross. See, the cross was the way how Romans invented for those criminals and those who are against them that they don't like. They want to give them a painful death. Could you imagine the cross that was used by the Roman can become the cross where Jesus is crucified and he is glorified, and that through the cross, through the preaching of the cross, salvation has come to those who believe. It is pure foolishness. Foolishness in human thinking. How could the cross save anyone? It's only shame. Yet we know that the cross is offensive to some and despised and rejected by others. Yet the cross was Paul's message of hope and healing to the church and salvation to the lost. The very cross that seeks to destroy God's plan and undo God's plan is the very cross that advanced God's plan. How amazing. I like what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 and verse 19. The message that points to Christ on the cross seems
like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. This is the way God's work, and most powerful as it turned out, it writes, I will turn conventional wisdom on its head. I will explore so-called expert as crackpot. Wow. This is what the Bible says. Foolishness. Yet it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. We lift up Jesus when we preach about the power of the cross. We lift up Jesus when we exalt his name, exalt his personhood, exalt his work on the cross, so that the entire world will see this Jesus Christ is lifted on the cross, the Prince of Peace and the conqueror over Satan and sin. He's lifted up from the grave as the risen Savior. And he's lifted up to glory as the exalted King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today, we lift up Jesus when we come together and exalt his name and exalt the Savior and the Lord so that those who do not know him may come to believe him as their own personal Savior. My second question is, who is to lift up Jesus? The Bible tells us wicked men and lawless men, they crucified him on the cross. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Wicked hand and lawless hand had crucified and slain Jesus. The world is not going to lift up Jesus. They mocked, they ridiculed, they scorned at him. They used the name of Jesus in vain without respect and reverence. So who is to lift up Jesus Christ today? Turn around and look at everyone. You. We are to lift up Jesus Christ because we are his people, we are his children, we are his church, we are his saints, and we lift up Jesus and exalt his precious name. If we don't, no one is going to do it. The world will not do it because the world needs to see us lifting up Jesus Christ so that they will come to believe who he is. We are his children, his church, and we are the one who must lift up Jesus Christ. How do we lift up Jesus Christ? There's a song we used to sing, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. The world will not lift up Jesus. Non-believer will not lift up Jesus. Only you and I must lift up Jesus high for them to see. So how do we lift up Jesus? How do we do it? Well, let me use the word lift. Practically, how you can lift up Jesus. Lift. The first word is L. We lift up Jesus when we love one another. Say amen to that. Jesus said, this is a new commandment I give to you. Love one another in the same way I love you. You love one another. This is how everybody will recognize that you are my disciple when they see the love you have for each other. These are Jesus' parting words, the final days. And he knows one of the greatest challenges for us as a church is to what? Love one another. Jesus called us to love one another. It's a new commandment because we are able to love one another because the love of God has been shed upon our heart by the Holy Spirit. It is the love of God that is in us that is able to help us to express the love to others. The early church trademark was because their love for one another. When they have a feast, they call it what feast? Love feast. So the question is, do I impress people with my knowledge or do I touch hearts with my love? You see, in the human way, We think knowledge impress. But God's plan is not to use knowledge to impress. It's to use what? Love to what? To touch hearts. Love to touch hearts. I think of the word of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a chapter that we use a lot in the wedding. But he was writing to the church. He said that if I speak with human eloquence, I'm like an angel, can sing, but do not have love, I am nothing. I'm nothing. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mystery and making everything plain as day, and I have faith to say to the mountain, jump, and it jump. But if I do not have love, I am what? Nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I do not have love, I have got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe and what I do, I am bankrupt without what? Love. See? Scripture say, love one another. If there is no love, I am what? Zero. I'm nothing. Impress people, not with what? With your knowledge. Touch people's heart with your what? With your love. Every time we love, we live Jesus, we reflect Jesus. Every time we love, we fulfill the law. And then every time we love, we are telling people that Jesus Christ is real because he commands us to what? To love. Recently, when my wife and me visit Angela at the hospital, and this is what she said to us. She said that, Pastor, I'm not married, and we all know I'm not married. I have my sister here. I have a niece back in Malaysia, and another sister and brother there. I'm not married. And God has given me the church, Grace City Church, as my family. Here I feel love. And may she mention your name a few times. May your reward be great in heaven, for your love for her. And she said, I really want you to know, Pastor, that my only family is the church. Is it not wonderful that we can learn and live to love one another, to touch hearts? Patty, we have been praying for her for months that God will give her a new lung, a lung transplant. And she just got it last week. A lung transplant. We thank God after a long time. And yesterday, the text we got, she is up, doing, awake. She is awake. She is awake. And her word is that, thank the church, the family for praying for me. So how do we lift up Jesus? We love one another. There is a testimony out there. How do we lift up Jesus? We imitate him. Follow me is our theme. Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. I pray that being a Christian makes you a better father, a better husband, a better worker, a better employer. I hope so. Don't you think so? Because this is what, if we want to lift up Jesus, then we have to imitate him so that when people see us, the thing you need to realize, the minute you go among your friends or among others and say, I'm a Christian, or and they know you are Christian, do you know that they have certain expectation of you? They have this idea that Christians should be We are not perfect, but there's certain virtue, certain integrity, certain, you know, standing that you need to reflect. Am I right, Pastor Kara? People have that idea. And I tell you, it's not wrong. Because when people have their idea, it actually forces us to make us aware that people are watching me as a Christian. So how do I lift up Jesus? I imitate him. I be like him in words and in deed. And when I imitate him, I know that people see me. Like what the Bible say, that they may see your good work and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. At home, at your workplace, among your friends, imitate Christ. It is a very powerful message. It is a very powerful, powerful message when you reflect the person who lives in your heart, the person who you say means a lot to you. Imitate him. And that lift Jesus up. How do I? You come to the next word, F. Faithful to the Lord. Moses did a good job, faithful in God's house, but it was all servant work, getting things ready for what was to be done. Moses, who said, if I be lifted up, taken from Moses lifting up the serpent in judgment. And so, Moses called us to be a faithful servant in God's house. It's so important for us. So important for us to be faithful to who? Faithful to the Lord. Say amen to that. We must be faithful to the Lord. We must be faithful to the Lord's house. We must be faithful to our spouse. Say amen. That is very important. I met Christian, not many, just with my fingers, who are not faithful to their wife. I'll tell you, even how the wife forgive him, the relationship is never the same. Trust is never the same. So we need to be faithful to our spouse in all things. Say amen. I know sometimes it's hard to tell your spouse what you have for lunch. But I still have to tell her when she asks me, what do you have for lunch? Being faithful. Faithful to use your gift and talent. And it's wonderful to see the worship team using their gift and talent. You know, and faithful. Faithful to your belief. Faithful to your leadership. And finally, being a good and faithful servant. The world does not value faithfulness, but God's kingdom does. Your faithfulness is a testimony to God, lifting up Jesus, because Jesus was faithful and he accomplished his mission on earth. How do I lift up Jesus? The last is the word T. Talk about Jesus. We need to talk more about Jesus Christ. You know, when you are with your friends, find an opportunity to chip in a bit, even in the political scene. They are discussing politics, all these things. Find opportunity to jab a bit about Jesus Christ. Even when they talk about the vaccine and all the pandemic, find some way to jab in about Jesus Christ. When they talk about money and super and saving and all these things, find some way to what? Jab in a bit about this Jesus Christ that you believe. Why talking about Jesus is important? The more you talk about Jesus, the more real it becomes to you. The more important it matters to you. Talking about Jesus, in fact, increases our faith and builds our faith. In fact, it inspires our hearts. When you are silent about Jesus, it doesn't do your faith good. So we need to talk about Jesus. I mean, I say to you, if you imitate Christ, you have the right to talk about Christ because you imitate Him. And it's a powerful tool, a powerful testimony to be that light, to open your mouth and talk about Him. The last question, what happened when we lift up Jesus? When we lift up Jesus, God will bless us because we are His child, His children, and He will draw close to us. The lost will also be drawn close to the Lord when we lift up Jesus. Lord, let me live my life to lift You up. Let me live my life to lift You up. I want to. When I'm at the close of my life, I don't want to say, Lord, I should have done this, I should have done that. I should have spent more time lifting You up. I want to do it while I'm here. What I am, Lord, as Paul said, present your body as a what? As a living sacrifice. Live your life to bring glory to one person that is worth everything of your life. That is Jesus Christ. In Him, we live, we move, and we have our being. Thank You, Lord. This week, lift Jesus when you speak. Lift up Jesus when you think. Lift up Jesus in your words and deeds. Use every opportunity to lift up Jesus, because in so doing, the power of the gospel become real to you and others. Why don't we pray this morning? Jesus said, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men unto Myself. He is already on the cross, down from the cross, buried in the grave, rose again from the grave, and now in the hands, the right hand of the Father. So how do I lift up Jesus? How do I lift up Jesus? Love one another. Imitate Him. Faithful to Him. I'll talk about Him. That's how we can practically lift up Jesus in our life. My encouragement to you, lift Jesus up. Lift Him higher that the world may see. The answer and the solution to this world is not going to be found in politicians, in government, in the United Nations, or in all the World Council and all the summit they have. The answer is in Jesus Christ. And you and I are called to lift Jesus up as the light and as a sword. It's time that our faith become living, active, and evidence. Would you stand up with me? Lift your hand to Him as we sing this song.
And all the saints and angels, they bow before Your throne. And all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. All the saints. Thank you.
My life bring glory to you. May I live my life to lift you up on high, that others may see you in me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray that throughout this week, God, may your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts, challenge our hearts to reflect who you are, that wherever we are, that we will lift up the name of Jesus, we will lift up the character of Jesus, we will lift up the personhood of Jesus Christ, that others may see that Christ indeed is real in our life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.